Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And speaking of Anna Jarden Levine, they're Ira Winterman's powered by Anna Jarden Levine Accident Attorneys. The number again, 1-800-747-FREE. That's 1-800-747-3733. Good morning, Ira. How are you?
I'm good. Is that game finally over from last night?
Jeez.
30 seconds left, yes.
Almost. By the way, it looked like both teams had so many chances, and Toronto blowing it in regulation. You're like, oh, my gosh, that was just crazy finish. Hey, by the way, wanted to ask you before we get into all the basketball stuff. You spent a few days with some of the Heat organization and watching a lot of players that could be the 13th overall pick. I always wonder, what's it like for you guys to get around and talk to people, not only Heat people, but players and other teams as well? Is it easy to get access to them?
Yeah, I mean, it really, Joe, the Combine has sort of become probably like a lot of other sports, just an annual convention, except for the teams in the conference finals. And even some of those teams had executives there also. Anyone and everyone, I mean, even people who were just advisors like Larry Bird were showing up there. So it sort of it gets two things taken care of. I think number one, obviously the draft and looking at those sort of second-tier candidates who actually go out and scrimmage. But it's also a case of sort of feeling out other executives as far as free agency, as far as trade. A lot of guys looking for coaching vacancies. The Timberwolves just announcing today they're going to keep Ryan Sanders, so it becomes 0-3 for Juwan Howard for NBA coaching vacancies before he talks to Michigan tomorrow. It really was an interesting scene, and everyone was there. I mean, the Heat, Pat Riley was there, Nick Arison, Andy Ellisberg, Bob McAdoo, Keith Askins. So I think a lot more gets done than just the draft. It's become one of those, sort of like NBA Summer League, one of the times people can really exhale and really talk personnel. I think a lot of the groundwork for offseason trades starts at the NBA Combine.
Okay, so speaking of that, we heard Mike Conley's name come up a couple times over the weekend. I know there's some smoke with that. Is there fire behind that also? What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, you know, to me, Zach, it comes down to this. What do the Heat have to offer as a sweetener besides give up the 1 year remaining on the contracts of Dragic or Whiteside in order to get the 2 years of Conley? If it's just a matter of putting their cap space on hold for a year, then I could see it making some sense because Mike Conley is a dramatic upgrade from what they've had, especially after Goron's injuries last season. What I don't agree with is if the Heat have to throw in a lottery pick sweetener, I walk away from it. Mike Conley is in his 30s. He has 2 years at mega money, $30 million each year plus left on his deal. You got to stop sacrificing the future. What Mike Conley would do is probably put you back in the playoffs. What Mike Conley wouldn't do is make you a top four team in the Eastern Conference. So what are you really doing? You're saying we're trading away more of our future just to go one round in the playoffs? I think that's where you have to be careful. If it's straight contracts, if you can give up a couple years, one expiring, and you know, along with Goron or Hassan, I would go ahead and do it. If it means giving up this year's number 13 pick, there is no way I would do it. But I guess we'll see if the Heat are living in the moment or if they are taking what I think should be the long view.
All right, since you brought up that 13th pick, what do you think? You see any new names on there that you kind of watching the team and seem to be interested in? What's your take on, I know we still got some time left, who it could be?
I think it's really a case, guys, of catch a falling star, because what's going to happen is you have your clear 1, 2, and 3. This might be the earliest we've known almost the exact order of the first three. I think Zion goes to New Orleans 1, Ja Morant to Memphis 2, R.J. Barrett to the Knicks 3. I think that's pretty much settled. Then there's another group in there, and a player joined that group in Chicago that surprised me. North Carolina's guard, Kobe White, left after the first day of interviews and everything. It seems settled in his position. So I think DeAndre Hunter, the guy who did so much for Virginia, he's gone. Kobe White is gone. Darius Garland, the point guard who was injured at Vanderbilt, is gone. And Jared Culver, who had the real good workout session at Texas Tech guard, or rather the real good tournament, he's gone also. The interesting name is, that means Cam Reddish has slipped. That means a guy that we thought was top three. Remember, there was a point everyone said nothing but Duke at the top of the draft. I think he's going to be this draft's Justice Winslow. I don't know if he makes it to 13, but I think he'll be the floater. There's a lot of really good names for the Heat. And what I'm curious about is this. How comfortable is Pat Riley with his rules and veteran bent going with a 19-year-old, going with a Kevin Porter from USC and his background issues, going with Nasir Little from North Carolina, who did not even start in his lone season with the Tar Heels? Or does he pull sort of a more of a typical Pat Riley and goes with more of a veteran and maybe someone like Rui Hachimura, the junior from Gonzaga? So I think this will be another Pat Riley imprint draft, but I do think you have a chance at 13. I think there'll be players from 9 through 20 where three of them will be the guy and everyone else will be whiffs. This is when you've really got to crack down over the next month.
Pat Riley's got to know, though, in the back of his head that you got to get one of these rookie guys on a rookie deal to make this team better and not just trade away for vets, right? I mean, I know for years it wasn't like that. It was Pat said, I don't need a guy 18, 19 years old. I need some vets because we need to win now. It's a little different now, isn't it?
It is for this reason also. You might say, hey, you got to pay $3 million to your rookie. Well, you know what? The full mid-level exception is $9 million. So, you know, just to get a journeyman veteran to sort of come back around to your team and pay three times the money, you've got to exercise your picks. That's where the value is in the NBA. That's why a team like Philadelphia and some of these up-and-coming teams can build their roster because they start with all the rookie-scale contracts. Then they sign the veterans and wait till these kids mature and decide whether they want to give them the big money or not. Look, 13 is not a great place. It's not an awful place. There's also a couple of really good European guys who were killing it over the weekend at the European Final Four. Sekou Doumbouya from France, looking right now, NBADraft.net has him pegged for the Heat. Does Pat Riley finally go in that direction and not go for the standard college guy? Pat Riley's play has always been get either the veteran college player or the mature college player like Justice Winslow. I think it's going to be interesting this year to see what the sort of Heat's reshuffled draft mix with Adam Simon now leading things instead of Chet Kemper, what direction they go in. But I agree, Zach. You've got to start using these picks because you know what? You don't have one in 2021, the pick you've traded for Goran Dragic. You've got to start making hay in the draft.
You've been surprised that Golden State hasn't lost a game since Kevin Durant got hurt that calf muscle, and where they are. They have not lost even in the end of that game that he got injured and have not lost any games, 3-0 now against Portland.
Yeah, I'm more surprised. I mean, obviously, I think the surprise was the way they finished off Houston, a game and a half without Durant. Houston's good. Portland is just a filler team that managed to find its way through. No one at the start of the season, no one at the start of the playoffs said, oh, Portland, they're a Final Four team. They're a Western Conference Finals team. And now that we find out that Damian Lillard has those separated ribs, I mean, what does Portland have besides their two guards? And I know people are going, oh, look at Zach Collins right now. Look at Myers Leonard. Those are bit players who, if they were your fourth or fifth guy, that would be fine. Portland is another one of those teams constructed just with two players. And you can see eventually how you have your limitations. Right now, since the NBA redid their conferences in 1981, no team has gone to five straight NBA finals. The Warriors are on that path. The question is, will they be healthy enough when they get there? Because now with Andre Iguodala's injury, there's a chance that reporting not only would he miss tonight's game against the Blazers, he could be done for the playoffs. You know what, Joe? As good as the Warriors are, without Durant and without Iguodala as well, I think Milwaukee might set up as the better team in the finals.
Well, that'll be interesting to see how that all squares about. So in that Toronto-Milwaukee series right now, Kawhi obviously doing as much as he possibly can, including 52 minutes last night. Is anything going to be enough to keep him in Toronto at this point? Because he looks at the rest of his cast on his team and can't think that he wants to stick around there for a whole bunch of years.
Yeah, you're 1,000% right, and that's what I was thinking the entire game and the entire series. No NBA player wants to be a standalone star anymore because those guys either don't make the playoffs or eventually they wind up going out in the first round. What he has had to do for that team, I know Pascal Siakam is coming around. Again, Kyle Lowry fouls out, can't be a factor when needed most. Kawhi Leonard is not going to survive this. Kawhi Leonard can't be carrying the heavy load. I know what they did in the regular season for him, and he'll probably get next season if he stays in Toronto, almost told in his negotiations, we'll give you 20 games off. We'll rest you for the playoffs. But what they put him through for the last month, and now it's going to be a six-week period for this team, it's just way too much. There's just not enough there. They don't have the cap wherewithal to get another player. As much as Siakam is going to develop, I think this is the kind of guy who says, you know what? I can go to the Clippers with a plus one. They'll have room for two free agents. I can go to the Knicks with a plus one. But he even can go to Dallas and play alongside Kristaps Porzingis. There's enough places he can go where there'll at least be a star in place, and that team already has cap space. LeBron, I don't know if he wants that, but he can get that with the Lakers. When I watch Kawhi and what he's being asked to do, you know where the ball's going. You know what they have to do. It's remarkable that he's able to survive these playoffs, let alone put up the numbers he is.
Hey, all right, get back. I know you got to see Pat Riley out there for a while. Give me a little juice on Pat. I mean, we don't get to hear from Pat much. Give me something on Pat Riley while you're there.
Well,
I know
what
you.
What I can tell you is this, is that there was a real frustration within the organization this season that they got away from their quote-unquote culture, and that there was a degree of slippage, and I don't know why, and I'm trying to figure this out because it's not Eric Spoelstra's sort of, you know, modus operandi, but they went a little easier when it came to players showing up late, when they came to conditioning things. I think they felt they had a veteran team who eventually would figure out and know what to do. And I think you're going to get back to sort of that crack-the-whip type of approach where there's going to be no more patience from these guys. The Heat went out and gave everyone the money they wanted, and they simply didn't get the payoff they wanted. This is going to be interesting to me, Joe, whether culture really matters or whether it doesn't matter if you go easy on the guys like this past season, you crack the whip again like they might next season, or does it just come down to talent? That if you're not good enough, you can talk about culture and Heat Nation and everything else, but you just don't have players who are good enough. I think this is the last hurrah for James Johnson and Dion Waiters. They have 2 years left, but I think if they don't do something this season, I think they get moved to the side as expiring contracts and afterthoughts. I think this is their last chance. James Johnson is over the hernia injury. Dion Waiters is over the ankle. I know those things can linger, but I think it's going to become a time where the Heat's going to go, look, all or nothing from you guys. There was a real frustration not only in the standings this season, but also in how situations were handled. And it makes a lot of sense then when you look back on a lot of what happened with the team this season.
I just, for life of me, because this, when you just said that, I started thinking about the Dolphins too.
Yeah.
I don't get how guys are late. I'm sorry. I'm old school.
Doesn't make sense.
I don't get how you don't respect all the other guys to beat when they got to go to a meeting or you got to go to a meeting. Everybody shows up. It's just, first of all, it makes the coach look bad, and there's not much you can do with these guaranteed contracts. I get that part.
Especially in the NBA,
It's incredible. But the Dolphins weren't even very good.
No, and
they had the same problem. They got guys that can't show up on time.
Then they always say, if you're not early, you're late. That's what the Dolphins under Shula and the Heat under Riley have always been. It's go above and beyond. And the one thing I think that frustrates the Heat is this. They set them up with the ultimate of facilities. They take care of them. They go above and beyond for their players. They give them every opportunity to succeed, and that's why it feels like such a slap in the face. We gave you everything. We opened the gym whenever you wanted. We gave you the ultimate in training facilities, in travel facilities and everything, and this is what we get in the return. I think it's really hard on Pat Riley, who was so old school. I think that's why Eric Spoelstra is the bridge. But to me, it's like if Don Shula was around or someone, he'd go like, what the heck? But as you know, Joe, the money rules, and it's all guaranteed in the NBA. You get it anyway. I think now what you have to do is you have to look back and you have to say to yourself, I don't know how you do this, by the way, if we give this player the money, will he stay true to what he was to earn the money? I think that's the biggest difference in the Heat. I think some of these players have not stayed true to what they did to earn the money in the first place.
Yeah. Ira, do you think they trade up in the draft? Do you think they try to make a move to move up?
They've never moved up in the lottery ever, so it would be a first. And Zach, here's the deal. To move up in the draft, you have to add assets. You have to add sweeteners. The Heat have one second-round pick over the next 5 years. That's not an asset. They don't have a young player on a low contract where they could say, hey, we want to move up four spots. We'll give you this guy. You could take a flyer on him. I don't think they have the assets to move up unless a team just clearly wants to move out of the draft. I don't think there's any quick fixes, Zach. I don't think it's you can move up free agency. I don't think it's you can make a trade that'll put you into the conference semifinals even or the conference finals. I think they have to be patient. I think they have to have a list of, hey, one of these six guys will fall. Just sit back, take a deep breath, whoever it is. forget about position. It's going to sort itself out. That's what I wrote in my Sunday column at the Sun Sentinel, is don't consider now that Goran or Hassan are on your roster. These guys will be gone. Consider the next rendition of your team. The Miami Heat won't be contenders in the short term unless there's some blockbuster out there. So build for the next rendition, sort of like what we're seeing with the Dolphins. They're identifying their key assets, and they're saying, okay, these are the five or six guys we're going to build around. I think that's what the Heat are doing with Winslow and Richardson and Adebayo, maybe Derek Jones Jr.
Ira, thank you very much for the time, buddy.
Hey, appreciate it. Thank you, guys.
Ira Winman, powered by Anajar and Levine Accident Attorneys. Call 1-800-747-FREE. That's 1-800-747-3733.
Radio.com.
All right, it's that time again where we give you a chance to win $1,000 12 times a day. Listen weekdays between 7 a.m. and 6 p.m. for the keywords. Text it to 72881. This is a national contest brought to you by Anajar and Levine Accident Attorneys. Call 1-800-747-FREE. That's 1-800-747-3733. Win Dono's Dollars right here on 560 FM 96.5 HD2 WQAM. It's a radio.com sports station. The 8 a.m. code word, by the way, was RED, R-E-D. Text that to 72881 for your chance to win $1,000.
All right, Bruce Feldman from The Athletic, who went to school down here and has been around for a long time. He's a writer out in L.A. Anyway, he's got a really good article out about Miami, the search for lost swag. So we'll talk. It's really good. Got a lot of former players in there. Got a lot of good stories and stuff. So we'll talk to Bruce about if he thinks it's doable for Manny Diaz to get this thing back to the way it was a long time ago during some of the greatest runs in the history of great college football teams, man. Just great stuff. So we'll talk to him coming up about that. The thing, we're just talking to Ira. I'm always amazed, no matter how late we stayed out or anything, guys were on time for meetings. They just were. You didn't want to hear about it in front of the whole team. If you came in late, Shula blasted you. And I know it's a different time. It wasn't, you got blasted. Back then, he could cut you literally the next day or the same day if you did something. If you weren't good enough, he could, So the rules, there's a lot more stuff now. The unions have taken care of, and the players got a lot more. But the one thing I just don't get, and last year Adam Gase used to put up a sign in the morning from the night before, so everybody could see on those big boards they have up, tell you what time to be ready and what time. So no excuses for, what time first meeting was, special teams meeting. We got certain group coming in. You're expected, mandatory for rookies and whatever it was they put up on these boards. And the boards are all over the facility, so you can't miss them, literally. They're everywhere, and they're lit up with fresh stuff and on these boards. And when I used to come in and we would do the show, I'd come through and have a little breakfast. And on my way out, the boards would be up. Such and such was 20 seconds late for a meeting. He's being fined $2,000. I used to go, damn. I know $2,000 is different money for today's professional athlete. But my God, man, someday to see guys getting fined and the amounts that were they were being fined, and Adam was hoping that would get guys to stop doing it and embarrass them enough that they'd be on time. Forget the amount of money. It's just disrespectful, no matter how much you make, that other guys as good as you or better are being on time and your ass is always late. Mm. Where you got to say the same thing over again. The guy comes in and, hey, we're just talking about this. This play you're going to run. And now Ira's talking about basketball's got the same problem. It's not like today, like they have all these meetings and they have to. I mean, we had a lot more practices. We met a lot later at night. I mean, by the end of the night of meetings, you couldn't even remember what you just had a meeting for. Comprehension was hard to find.
It's a lot different now.
And now it's just, I know it's a different time, and I do know the money's a lot different. And guys go, look, I'm not a morning person. I heard one guy tell me, and one guy just said, I'm not a morning person, so I'm not going to be able to make all these meetings, so just find me. Like,
what?
I just like.
Make yourself a morning person. It's your job. It's your profession. Just be there at 6:30. What's the point of getting there at 6:45 if you can't get there, at, you know, like 15 minutes late? Like, you might as well be 2 hours late at that point.
All you got to do, just be 1 minute early to a meeting. If a meeting's, special teams meetings are usually first thing in the morning, then you get into position meetings or offense and defensive meetings, and it just be 1 minute early. Or just literally, they got these fancy watches and clocks. Your alarm goes off and you're on your arm, and it's just.
You ever late to a meeting after being in the nap room for Shula? You guys had a nap room, right?
We didn't have a nap room. He kept us busy though, so there was no downtime, which I like. I like to come in and just work through, and when you're done, you're out.
Yep.
Whatever time it was, hey,
no gap in between, right?
Hey, we're gonna finish up, or we'll see you tomorrow morning. And you knew what time before you left. This is before all the technology was out there, and you know, so you knew, and you just went over. Shula didn't have a lot of rules. We weren't even that sophisticated offensively. He ran the same offense forever. Like, you literally could ask one of the 70s guys who weren't playing, like, hey, you could see one of the old guys and ask him. They go, yeah, you do this on that. Well, thanks, man, I forgot. They knew.
Yep.
So it was just about perfection of a small menu.
Just get this down. Yeah.
Small menu, but a really good menu. Yeah. That's it. We're not trying to add a bunch of extra things. And
there's nothing wrong with that, but I don't understand how a guy doesn't care. I mean, what do we always say? 3 years, 3.5 years, the average span of an NFL player? You know, like, you don't realize until 3 or 4 years after you're out, unless you've just made, you know, an exuberant amount of money, $100 million, $200, whatever it was, you're never going to find a job again that pays more like that, pays like that.
No.
And you didn't care at the time about $1,200 or $500 or $2,000 or $2,500, whatever it was, whatever you got fined for at certain points. Like, you're going to look back and go, Jesus, was I stupid? Like, I could have gotten in that meeting on time and I would have had $2,500 in my pocket or $500, whatever it is. It's crazy to me. Plus, it's their job. Like, it's their job. It's not like something voluntary that they don't, you know, they, that's their job. That's their employer.
You get
whatever
fined,
sport it is.
You get fined, you don't get it back. It's not like they take it right out of your check. So if they're going, hey, I'm not paying that, I don't think it's fair.
Don't worry, we'll take care of it.
And they're going, okay. And then you see your check and you're like, damn, they took it out anyway. Darn it, man. I'm still. So always amazing when you hear those stories about how many guys, I guess everybody's going through it. I always wonder, do they go through that in San Antonio? Are they going through that same problem? You know Belichick doesn't go through it because he's literally, you don't play. You just don't play. His best player, the quarterbacks are always early. Quarterbacks get there so early. They're an extension to quarterbacks have different hours. They're an extension to the coaching staff. They come in, get in the game plan. They have to come. They come before the meeting starts so they can get everything they want to do and who they want to get involved and all that stuff. So coaches are on the same page with the quarterbacks. That's a different deal. But, yeah, Belichick. How many guys have we seen late for meetings? They didn't suit up. Guy runs for 200 yards and doesn't play for a month and then gets cut.
Yeah.
So,
jeez,
I don't know. Times have changed, though, man. It's incredible.
But I'll never understand being late to a meeting or wearing your socks too high and getting one of those fans, you know, like those fines and being okay with it.
That's a little that. Some
it's
of
just
that
money
stuff,
you'll never get back.
I know,
and
but
it's something
some of that
stupid
stuff, Zach, like keeping your socks up or not paying, you know, like, hey, man, or I just this is the way I do it and I'm not changing because it's just I'm superstitious or. Or not, but you're right. Like, just wearing the wrong hat so the league finds you because you want to put somebody else's cap on.
It just doesn't
and you
make
get fined.
Sense.
Like, why would you give up that money? Just play by their rules. When you're away from them, you can wear whatever you want or anything else. I do agree with that. Hey, we got a lot more stuff to get to as we continue on. We got to check in on the Kendall Toyota and West Kendall Toyota text line, 56022. So keep them rolling in here. Got a lot more stuff to get to here as Bruce Feldman will join us from The Athletic. Really good article. Some of you guys got a chance to see it about the University of Miami and Manny Diaz and the future and the past and everything else. Really good stuff. So we'll have that for you. Stay with us. We'll be back in a moment. Radio.com. Radio.
Heat.com.
All right, we're playing some music, Joe. You know who this is?
It's a really good country group right there,
Rascal Flatts.
Oh, they're so good.
And the last couple days here on the show, we've been giving away a pair of tickets. And guess what? We got another pair to give away right now. 800-227-0560. You can win tickets to see Rascal Flatts with special guest Lee Bryce and more. It's this Thursday at the Coral Sky Amphitheater. If you do not win tickets through us, great seats are still available now at LiveNation.com. 800-227-0560. Caller number 5 wins a pair of tickets to see Rascal Flatts, Lee Bryce, and more Thursday at the Coral Sky Amphitheater.
Man, our sister station, this is about as nice as they've been. We got one station that likes us here. Our Kiss
likes. I think Power 96 likes us too a little bit.
Power does a little bit.
I mean, that's it though. Then we're done.
Yeah, the other ones. They keep trying to put everybody together. Yeah. And it hasn't.
Listen, it's coming soon.
I don't think it's been real smooth.
It's coming soon. We'll all be together. One big happy family in one building all together very soon.
All right. Listen, we got all kinds of stuff here on a Monday morning, including one of the great punches you'll ever see. Not that we sit here and talk about boxing, but I will tell you the Deontay Wilder punch in the first round the other night on Dominic Brazil was about as good as you're going to see for a punch that everybody in the world had a chance to see and hit him right on the chin. And it was, and by the way, it set me up. I saw it because I haven't watched Deontay Wilder fight a lot. But this Anthony Joshua Deontay Wilder fight, whenever they bring the pay-per-view out, the pay-per-view and whatever it is, and it'll be expensive because it is going to get hyped up, and it could be a hell of a fight. Could be a really, really good fight. I'm all in, man. I'm buying. That's the next one I'm buying. I told you guys I was done buying, but that one is going to bring me back. Because that could be a lot of fun to watch.
You better hope they can get that squared away, because you got two guys with two different kind of TV contracts. Someone's going to want more money. Someone's going to want to air the fight. This always happens now. So you just got to hope that everybody can sit down at a table together, figure out the money, and get this fight going. Otherwise, it's going to be 2022 before we even see this fight.
They will get it worked out within the next year, number one. And it is, they're going to realize they need each other to get this huge payday, by far bigger than anything else they've ever had, and they will get it done. I wish I could tell you it'd be at the end of 2019, probably goes into 2020, but it doesn't matter when you have it. It's a Saturday night of two heavyweights. It's going to be fun to watch. It'll be a little old school, I think.
It's old school heavyweights. We've been waiting for this for a long time, for two guys that are popular in the ring together. Wilder's a Showtime guy, and Joshua fights on that new, what is it, DAZN? What is it, the DAZN? What is it called?
No, that was D's. I wasn't sure which one you were talking about. I was worried about saying D's.
It's DAZN.
DAZN. There you go.
Well, whatever it is, there's plenty of money for both that they can
get. I just want to get it done. I want to see a good fight. A heavyweight fight that actually gets me excited.
They're business guys. Everybody on those is going to make a lot of money on those fights. Not just those fighters, but everybody affiliated with them. It would be stupid not to get this done. And we have had fighters, by the way, in the past that have waited till somebody was out of their prime and the fight didn't have the same.
Of course, the biggest one we've seen in the last decade.
Pacquiao and Mayweather.
Yeah, it was just eight years too late.
Waited way too long.
Yeah. And
Pacquiao lost his fastball, his curve, his changeup. He was slow pitch softball. He was down to unlimited flight ball, exactly.
It wasn't even fast pitch softball. It was slow pitch.
Let's
see this fight soon. It would be good for boxing to have this fight as soon as possible. I understand contracts and money and TV get in the way of everything, but get it done. Everybody wants to see this fight, and this is a good way to get that heavyweight division back in the limelight and not just a random fight on Saturday night on Showtime when half the people don't even know what's going on.
It's a little unfair. I mean, the last handful of heavyweight fights have been pretty entertaining if you've watched them. So it's somewhat unfair what you're saying, but I understand you definitely want that fight because it's the marquee fight, but I know you've watched them. They've been pretty good.
No, they've had some good ones. What were the brothers, the Russian brothers?
The Klitschkos.
Yeah. They did nothing for me, and they had some good fights, and they go away. You're done. let these two go, and let's have fun in the heavyweights and get one belt for everything.
A little unification on all the belts together.
That would be the way to go on this thing and find out. Speaking of not moving the meter, Brooks Koepka has now won four majors in the last of the last eight. I mean, it's really dominating. By the way, the guy, he doesn't even win that many tournaments, normal PGA tournaments, but he is ready to go for the big ones, the ones that count the most, these majors. And as good a story as it is to win a major, it's just another guy that does nothing that everybody will be talking about all day. Is this the next Tiger? And you can't just win two or three majors. We've seen Spieth. We've seen Rory, where they've dominated for a while. Koepka. And everybody is really quick to throw Tiger's name out there with him. You need to calm down before you decide. This guy is not moving the golf meter at all.
Golf is desperate to find someone like that. That's the difference.
The dial ain't moving much, man, with Brooks Koepka. And I got nothing against him. He looks like he looks like he's all business out there. He's obviously really, really good.
Wouldn't even kiss his girlfriend. Yeah, a little peck on the cheek or something before.
Whatever. He's all business, man. He couldn't kiss her.
Well, I mean, he was dabbing everyone else. He was giving everyone else handshakes.
He was talking, and she wanted to kiss, and you have to calm down a little bit.
Just give it a little kiss before he's
just too
there.
Cool for that.
Yeah.
He was zoned in on the round of golf. Like, hey, we'll do this later. All right. Go back there and watch me get in the back a little bit.
I'm sure it was thrilling for those who watched.
Yeah.
I'm guessing the numbers.
I want to know what the ratings were like yesterday compared to Tiger Sunday.
10 people.
The PGA Championship and the Masters. You get all the hardcore golf fans watch. But as far as the other that it brings, going to be a big difference, the Masters and the PGA
Championship. I can imagine it will be.
That's not going to
be. Did Tiger even play in this thing? Where the hell was Tiger?
He went two rounds, and he couldn't find a fairway. He didn't get close enough.
We talked about it Friday, too.
He struggled.
I usually wait for a text on Sunday, like if Tiger's in it, I'll turn it on, but.
No text.
I didn't get the text.
No.
Text was late Friday night going, there's no more golf to watch this week.
Tiger found two words, deep grass. And he struggled to get out of it, man. He could not hit it straight. You can't hit it straight on there. You are almost guaranteed at least one bogey. He got off that double bogey the first hole, and it was over from there. He just really struggled. What did he end up? I didn't even look. What did he end up? Plus five? He was out of it.
Plus 500.
So that's golf now. We're just going to pray the Tiger's involved at the end?
Correct. Yes.
No. Like I said, if you like golf, you don't care. And you're the wrong guy to ask, actually. You're not.
Once Tiger was out, I was in also. When Tiger doesn't make the cut, either do I. I miss the cut.
You gotta really, really like golf, though, to watch that guy.
Yeah.
No, it's still a big. It's one. You only have four of them, and it was a big golf tournament.
But this thing was basically over before Sunday started.
I actually turned back in and see if Koepka was falling down a little bit, and he did. He ended up with three or four bogeys in a row, and Dustin Johnson got it within a shot, and I was like, wow, okay.
Would that have been the ultimate poop-the-bed moment for Koepka if he lost that?
After a seven-shot lead, that would have been, but, you know, the guy pulled it back out, and Dustin Johnson had some bogeys of his own. That golf course, by the way, like, I will never understand why people go, hey, this looks like a really fun golf course. When you see the pros struggling, why would you want to go out and play? If they're struggling, you got no shot. And if you hit the rough, which are most of your shots going to be in the rough, you know automatically you're going to be hacking it all over the place, including not getting it out of that deep grass that they were dealing with, 3 or 4 inch grass where you couldn't see your ball or just barely see the top of it. Why somebody'd want to go spend a bunch of money to play that public golf course? That thing looked nasty. They invited us 1 year. I was with O.J. McDuffie to play the Blue Monster. Mm. And they had the rough up. They had it. It had some bite to it. So I was like, wow, this is going to be really cool. So O.J. and I went out. We were spraying it everywhere. And so we had to go back, and you couldn't find your ball. Like, it got frustrating after about seven holes. Well, it wasn't like I was losing them in the water. I couldn't find them in the grass. Like, you had to step on them. It was like Easter eggs, man. I had a better chance of finding an Easter egg than my golf ball. And after a while, it was like, wow, I'm just not good enough. If you shoot 100 or 110, you probably shouldn't be on any of those PGA golf courses.
You're talking front nine?
No, I'm just talking overall. You're shooting 100s. Just probably shouldn't play. It's not a lot of fun, especially when you have the rough up and you can't find your damn ball. Just OJ was helping me, and then I'd help him, and finally we just said, this ain't working.
It ain't working.
Just put out a crappy ball and lose it, and just wherever you think it is, just hit it from that area and keep going. Boy, it was. That's why we have really easy golf courses, or easier golf course to play. What do we got coming in real quickly on the Kendall Toyota, West Kendall Toyota text line? 56022. Bruce Feldman's going to join us at 9 o'clock.
One that just came in. Joe, you are nobody until you put on that green jacket. There you go.
I disagree with that.
Really?
That's his opinion.
That's his opinion.
But I disagree.
It's like Hollywood.
You win a major, you win a major.
Okay. But the Masters is the big guy. If you're going to win one, you want to win the Masters, right? If you can only win one of the four.
Probably, yes. Okay. I don't know. Some of them think that British Open's pretty special.
The Open. All right. Isn't that what it's called now? The Open.
Oh, they play three or four different golf courses.
Hey, guys, I played the Blue Monster once. I lost 15 balls that day.
I don't know what it's like now. I'm guessing they made it a little bit easier. I haven't been out there since the golf tournament left.
Mm. Joshua's scared of Wilder, like Britain was scared of America in the Revolutionary War. Well done there.
There you go.
There it is.
What else you got?
Did Joe just say D's nuts? Yes, he did before. That's correct. Being fined $2,000 for a professional athlete is the equivalent of us having to pay 25 cents to the swear jar as a kid. It depends on how much money a guy's making.
I don't know, man. $2,000's $2,000.
$2,000 is $2,000 to me.
$2,000, $3,000, being late. It's just, you work your ass off to get every dime of your money. Why wouldn't you want to keep, unless something happens during a game and you get fined for something you do, that's one thing. But as far as stuff like just being on time, the competitive stuff on the field's different to me. But the stuff off the field, like being on time for a meeting like the other 53 guys, that shouldn't be that hard. I don't know. Shouldn't be. Anyway, hey, when we come back, Bruce Feldman will join us. We'll talk to Bruce about a really good article that he has out. Matter of fact, at Miami, the search for lost swag. A lot of good, a lot of former players in there. A lot of good stuff. Everybody's got a little different take on what it's going to take. So we'll talk to Bruce, who spent a lot of time on this long and really fun article to read.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O' Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh.